You're listening to Around Comics, episode 252, brought to you by InStock, Trades.com, and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, as always, Mr. Tom Caters, the newly married Tom Caters. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Can you see how beat down I am?
You already look like a defeated man.
I got this humpback.
It's just beginning.
I'm limping around.
It's like Papillon. You'll be eating bugs off the wall pretty soon.
So, Chris, we got to hurry up tonight. I have to be home by 9.
I have to.
It's dark.
I have to get rid of all my comics.
I got to get home.
And our special guest this week is our... rolling on towards Windy City continues with a whole list of Windy City Comic-Con guests. We now have Mr. Sal Abernathy.
Thank you.
Nice. Welcome back.
Nice to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know,
appreciate it.
It's the toughest thing is because we get so many requests to have you back on the show. And so we know that we have to give it to them in small doses.
Okay,
I
understand.
You know, you have to keep it special, but you know that you always have a seat here. So
thank you. I told you before. Just and anytime you need me, just let me know. I live 20 minutes away.
I know where to find you now. You're out there. I know what suburb you live in.
That's right.
We'll track you. You got to do lunch with us one of these days.
Let me know.
I work out not too long or too far from you. So
you guys have like a comic get together or are they?
We'll just go out and break some bread.
Don't go. No. He's gonna do something weird. Well, it's a trap.
Okay. Is it you turn around and are taking Polaroids?
Well,
make sure it's a public place where a lot of people can see you.
Okay.
You know where Jimmy's is on Madison right there,
sure,
in Forest Park? We'll go to Jimmy's one day.
Oh, yeah.
I like Jimmy's.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
That's right up the street from where Sal and I work. Before we get too much deeper in here, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you, as always, by InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free. Right now you can pick up our book club selection. Tom hand selected the JLA Avengers, and that is available at InStock Trades for a fantastic 47% off the cover price. It can be yours for only $10.59. And also you can go to the other section of InStock Trades and order the first Atomica trade there.
Yes.
I think they've moved a couple truckloads of Atomica trades for you.
They have. They're good guys.
They are good
people.
We're
going back to print on it because I had just planned on printing it, and then when I was done, I was just going to move on. But we've gotten a lot of requests for it, so I'm going to go back to.
Fantastic. And I think the guys down at they're in Fort Wayne is where the DCBS and InStock trade store is. They're going to have a show in May of next year. And I'm sure that they will contact you about being there. But I know Mike Norton and Steve Bryant, and I believe Robert Atkins. I'll have to dig up the list, but it's going to be a nice little convention, kind of in the vein of Windy City Comic Con.
Sure.
So they're
biting our style. You hear me, Zach, Ben? Yeah. We're calling you out.
Except it's in Fort Wayne, so
yeah. You know what? I think you'll be absolutely shocked at how successful that show is, because the Fort Wayne market there, not huge, but there's about 250,000 people in that area, and I think that a lot of people will kind of gravitate towards that.
They're desperate for entertainment in Indiana.
Absolutely desperate for entertainment.
You guys, realistically, you guys are going to have to, I mean, no offense to the what you're doing now, but you're going to have to get a bigger space next year.
You know,
I've had more guys ask me, you know, hardline pros that just can't get in. I mean, and it's not even just based on, well, first of all, most of these guys scratch their ass and wait till 11th hour to go, hey, you know, I want a table. And it's like, well, guys, I told you 6 months ago. And you act like Cher, you know, like, oh, I can't commit to anything that far in advance.
I might be busy.
Well, yeah, I'm like, busy with what? I mean, you don't have any lives. Just yes or no. I mean, you want to do it or not? I mean,
get on a plane.
You're not going to be doing surgery that weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, just say, okay. You know, you guys are like those 14-year-old queefs in high school. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Just fuck, get out of the car.
You know, that.
You know, we're at the Norwich already.
It's the best problem to have, and I don't want to make this entire episode
bigger space.
A Windy City Comic-Con preview, which, you know, we will go over some of that stuff a little bit later. But, yeah, you know, it's the best problem to have is that the show has all of a sudden in a year become so successful that we have to seriously consider a bigger space, a two-day show, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the amount of support that's, you know, come out of the Chicago area is really awesome. And not just from, you know, just people, but the creators. I mean, Mike Norton just walked in, and Mike's been, you know, really giving of his time to make sure that he's going to be there. And you've been great. And, you know, there's just, you know, if I would start going through the list, Tom would hit me with a beer bottle because he hates lists. But we've got 85 creators there this year.
Yeah, nice.
And for a show that size, I mean, it is.
And the word of mouth, importantly, the word of mouth that I get from the outsiders is always tremendous. Yeah. And I mean, I did Mocha this year in June, and Mocha went in the other direction. Mocha was at the Puck Building, which was a great location.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the problem with Mocha is that, one, they hide behind this not-for-profit bullshit all the time, which is fine because they're the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art in New York, and I couldn't be a bigger supporter. I mean, I've done gigs with them a couple different times where we hit art shows and things just to raise money. But they were in the Puck Building, and it was a great location for a lot of years, and they were clearly bursting at the seams. And then they moved it to the Armory up on Lexington and, say, 53rd. And it was just an absolute shitstorm this year in a bad way. They had
too many people?
No. They hadn't put out enough info. They hadn't, you know, little things like hanging signs. It was like a sauna, and it was 1,000 degrees. And it was just poorly run. And I was like, guys, you know, there's a lot of things you could have done better that didn't cost any money.
Yeah.
Just if, you know, but yet sometimes you get that, oh, we're not for profit. Like, well, that's sometimes that's just a cop-out for not doing your job well. And I said, you know, you don't want to lose momentum with a good show like this. You know, you
got
to.
And Mocha's got a great name.
I've done Mocha for 10 years, and I love it. I mean, and I go out there on my own. I would do it on my own dime, you know, which I do anyway. They don't give me anything for free. And I just love the whole independent scene in New York. And your show has that same feel to it, but you guys are going in the positive direction. And unfortunately, I think Mocha's going in the other way. Because there's a lot of creators that were really pissed this year what happened.
It's real easy to, whenever you put these things together, a couple bad decisions can really throw you off in the wrong direction. And, you know, as we look at it, it's really basic. It's really simple that as long as you are celebrating comics and having fun and not trying to squeeze every single dollar you can out of the entire event.
You got
to
get off your ass too.
Well, you know, we're thinking about
guys don't want to get off their ass.
Just like the podcast, and this really came out of the podcast as far as us getting to know people like you and a bunch of the creators there, is that, you know, 15 years ago, we couldn't have done anything like Around Comics. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, we would never have a chance at doing something like Windy City because there's no way to promote it on the type of budget that we have. But with social networking, you know, and, you know, Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and the podcast.
You can't escape. You can't escape it.
You can't escape it. It will run you down.
It will run you down.
Yeah. So,
it's like a wolf.
Yeah. It's really a neat time to be able to do things like that. And I love that the little guy can all of a sudden be just as visible and matter just as much as a lot of the larger shows. And I love larger shows. I love going to New York, and, you know, even Wizard Chicago wasn't a waste this year. I thought that kind of by mistake they had a very good show this year. And I think C2E2 is going to be a great show.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for picking the things that you really like out of a show, a really good artist alley, really good panels, stuff like that, and putting in a smaller and more intimate vibe. So that's kind of what we're going for there. So there's your promotion for Windy City.
There you go.
Sal, you're going to be there.
Yep.
And what should people come up to you if they're coming to the show and ask for? Are you going to have any new product there?
Yeah, actually, we did the relaunch with Atomica a few months ago through Diamond, mm-hmm. and with issue 9 and 10 and 11. And 10 just came out. It's at the stands. It's with the Travis Cherris cover. And we're doing an Atomica sketchbook now. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a lot of new stuff to show. And I do sketches for anybody that asks or cares if you know they want to see their characters look like they would if you were on acid, you know, I'll do it for you.
Well, you're going to be sitting next to Jeff Darrow, so there'll be a little bit of competition for who can do the most whacked out stuff.
Yeah, well, Jeff's a good guy. I mean, I know him just from, like, I think we know the same people, but I'm not one of those star fuckers. It's like, yeah, Jeff and I hang out, pick out curtains and buy Tupperware. We just kind of
you never know where he is. He could be living in Japan for a year, or living in
he's just wandering the earth.
He does. Yeah. I think Jeff Darrow does wander the earth, but it's gonna be cool. But congratulations on the successful relaunch of Atomica.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited about finishing up the series and doing an. I got in the works of putting the annual together, which is called USSA. It's under the same Atomica banner, but it's basically how Atomica in the U.S. went at it, and it's kind of it was a story I wanted to incorporate into the God Is Red story arc, but I just thought it was a little too big to squeeze it in. So I wanted to do something a little more ambitious with, how the United States in this Elseworld kind of thing lost to the Soviet Union.
So. Nice. And, it's cool that you can, you don't have an editor breathing down your neck, so you can take as long or as short a time to tell the story as you want to.
That's the upside. The downside is that you got to constantly, you have to be the den mother and yell at people like my colorist and, people that, you got to.
Who colors it? This is great colors.
It's Italian. Yeah, he's an Italian guy. He's a big, big Marvel guy, Simone Peruzzi. He's a tremendously talented guy, and he does all the Wolverine, the X-Box and Wolverine at Marvel. And he's great. He's just that he sometimes, because I'm the indie title, I get pushed to the back of the line. But, hey, I'm used to it.
Does he color Simone's stuff?
He still colors some. I think he's Simone's on finishing up his run on X-Men, and he's doing that for him. But and I understand he gets more exposure with the Marvel books. But hey, the check's still clear.
Yep. Yep.
So
What do they spend in Italy?
Yeah, on books or just
no?
Just
what, porn what's, or, no, what's the porn? Form of currency?
Is it the lira?
The lira? Lira.
Yeah. I, over there, they pretty much don't spend any money because they don't work. it's the Dolce Vita all the time, which is Italian for I like to sit around and scratch my ass all day instead of working.
There's a new comic book creator, not a new comic book creator, but a guy that has moved here recently to the Chicago area, Christian Alame, who is Doug Monkey's inker on Green Lantern. And Christian is French. He's French born, but he lived
even worse.
And I was really going to try and have Christian here so you and Christian could go out about, how much you hate foreigners, employ all of them.
I don't hate foreigners.
Sal, would you like me to roll back the tape?
No. I didn't say I hated foreigners because a lot of my friends are foreigners. I say that I just think that American, you don't have to be from Europe to do good comic work. And now, especially with Vertigo and with DC and especially Marvel, if you're not from England or you're not from France or Italy, they don't seem to think you're any good, and I think that's bullshit. I think
you ever try and wing it with your last name?
It's chic. They try to act all chic and the French guys have a different perspective. It's like that's bullshit. Come on. What's wrong with American guys? I say that, I'm like a buy American first type of guy. And Italians are the same way. They're biased with their Italians. And the French, come on, who's more biased towards French than the French guys? They want their own French. And I want to see more American guys in comics. That's just, growing up, every creator was American. Buscema and Kirby. We didn't need to go to Italy to get any of those Jagoffs. So, you know. I'm sorry. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they don't do good work. I'm just saying that, you know. Well,
what do you see?
They have BO and
the French have a different perspective on giant robots.
That's total horseshit. They don't have robots over there. They have, you know, quiche and bullshit and the Eiffel Tower. And I'm like.
Sauces and that's it.
Comic book is an American medium. It's like soap operas.
Thank you.
It's an American medium and it should, I just say.
It's like baseball.
I think it's exactly.
I've said for as long as I've kind of researched it and been aware of it that there are three great inclusions into modern culture that the United States is responsible for, and that's baseball, jazz, and the American comic book.
Yeah,
those things are purely
saying.
American.
And I'm selfish about saying we should have more Americans in comics.
Well, as you get out there on the convention circuit or just in your day to day life, and on top of being a creator, you're an art rep, and you're very involved. You don't talk about it a whole lot, but you're very involved in the comic book community at large. You have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. What do you see out there with new American comic book creators are coming up? Do you see anything that's exciting you or trends or certain creators that you're excited about?
I try to buy as much indie stuff as I can. Yeah. My take on comics is when I go to a comic store, if it looks cool, I'll buy it. I don't really concern myself with the titles or what's going on with. I don't get into the characters nearly as much as I did growing up.
Okay.
I'm more art driven now. If I see a book that looks cool, I'll buy it. And I think that there's a lot of stuff out there that people just rave about that I run and I grab, and I just don't think it's very good. And then there's some stuff that I see that nobody sees that I think is tremendous. And I think people should give more books a chance based off of just, you know, the what it looks like versus like, oh, I want to see if Submariner is cornholing in Atlanta this year.
A lot of people get hung up on like, oh, I can't buy this because for whatever reason I don't like, you know, this character, some sort of like weird hangover from like really something like a kid would think. Like, I don't like this, so I don't like I don't like steak, you know.
Well,
I don't
that's how it is. No, that's how it can be with guys where they get like, because comic journals will tell you there's a lot of putting out an indie book, there's a lot of comic journals that'll tell you right to your face, we don't buy indie titles.
Yeah.
They do Marvel, they do DC, and they don't even go, they barely scratch the surface of Image.
Well, no, what they're telling you is that we don't want to sell indie titles.
Yeah.
We don't want to put the work into trying to sell someone on something.
And I understand it's
hard.
Well,
it's an old business model, and that's something that's going to change. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth here in a little bit. But I just handed you a book talking about new, and I'm going to call it North American because I think this gal is actually from Canada.
Oh.
I know. Yeah. Folks that have been reading Elephant Man, there was one of the last story arcs had an artist named Marion Churchland. And she has a really nice, not painted style, but it's just penciled. It's not inked. It's very, I don't want to call it art student, but it has a very very nice and almost fragile feel to the art, which I thought was an interesting mix with Elephant Man. But the fine folks at Image sent me a preview of her upcoming graphic novel called The Beast.
Yeah,
or it's just called Beast, and it's by Marion Churchland. And really, really nice stuff, especially keeping in mind that it's from Image. And it's one of the nice things that I've noticed about Image over the last, you know, 5-10 years, that they have really expanded their base of comics. And you can find, this could very easily have been a top shelf book or a Fantagraphics book or, you know, whatever, you know, picture box, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's nice that it's coming out from Image. And, 152 pages, but to see a North American artist that would normally be relegated to the real small press independent comic book publishers, to see him coming out with stuff from Active Images and Image is really a breath of fresh air. And now I talk a lot about the tribal loyalty that comic book fans have to different companies
cigarettes. I understand there's a lot of brand loyalty.
What's your brand?
And that, you know, because I grew up a Marvel guy, but I also, you know, started to dabble into DC as a kid because I just saw that there were cool characters there.
Sure.
And I liked Gil Kane and I liked Joe Kubert and a lot of the artists that were there too. So especially when Kirby went over and did the Fourth World stuff and the Demon and all that. To me, it was more about just, hey, you know, give other stuff a chance and take a look at all of it. Although I understand that people are driven by their characters mm-hmm. and by their companies. But
some people are, but I think that's starting to break down a little bit, and I'm really happy. You know, one of the things that I love about the podcast, and I almost am ashamed of this, is that I grew up as a Marvel guy, yeah. and whenever we started doing the podcast, that's really what I read. I branched out and read a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but Tom really opened up my eyes to that. You know what? DC is, it's not impenetrable. You can jump right in and yeah. have fun.
You were like
with
a child. You were like a child's Chris that I had to
yes.
take by the hand just to try DC, just like the other Come giant on. Company.
Chris, well, the problem, it's Green Lantern. Try it. It's not going to hurt you.
Well, the problem too can also be that you know, if you got a store owner, like remember when, you know, as an example, when Hellboy first came out, mm-hmm. you know, the word of mouth amongst the comic creators was, "Wow, Hellboy's really good. You should check this book out." And yet you'd go to stores and they didn't have it because the store owner would order, you know, 10 or he'd order a dozen or whatever.
What's a dark horse?
So a lot of no. times, you know, even if there are books, store owners, I mean, again, it's business. I understand mm-hmm. if it's not like, you know, Diamond has the return policy that they used to have. They used to have the 50% return policy where if you don't sell it, you get, you know, a certain amount of credit. Whereas now, if you don't sell it, you have to eat it. Yep. But yet a lot of guys now, even with Atomica, I mean, I would say probably the moral majority say, hey, we're waiting for the trade. Because the store owners just don't order enough of the individual monthlies. I, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's much more cost effective. You should have just did it as a trade, as two trades. But being an old school guy, I like the monthly textile kind of, you know, experience of having that monthly book and having the comic in your mm-hmm. hand versus just a trade, where I know it's an easier read and I know that's the direction a lot of fans go, especially with indie titles, is sure. they're waiting for the trade. Because it's like, hey, I got issue 2 and 3, but I missed 4, or I couldn't get a hold of 7, and, you know, it was that kind of thing. So it's, to some degree, that's why when I go in a store, I really don't, I try to not pay attention anymore who's puts the book out. I'll just look, and if it looks cool, I'll grab it.
We've got some plans to talk to David Steinberger from Comixology here in just a minute. Before we do, I want to talk to you a little bit about digital comics, and that's kind of coming off of that is that mm-hmm. you know, people may wait for the trade sure. and not buy the singles, but now I think we're coming to a very interesting time in comics where it's like, you know what, I may drop $1 an issue on sure. the digital downloadable comic
yeah.
and then whenever it's, you know, say it's a 6-issue series, I'll drop $6 on those for the digitals, and then whenever the trade comes out, I'll just add that to my bookshelf. I think that Atomica is a perfect book for that model. Have you thought about that?
A little intention? Bit. It's yeah. harder because a lot with Atomica, I followed a model of a, you know, I went at the compositions in a selfish way where I did a mm-hmm. lot of Kirby stuff. I wanted to do a lot of double page spreads and a lot of bigger panels.
That's hard on an iPhone. It's hard on a computer screen.
Yeah, and a lot. I had a few people, a few of these comic
these eye people.
No, these comic, and I think it's a necessary thing.
It's coming. It's
nowadays
coming.
Nowadays
yeah,
with comics, yeah. I think you should you know, look into marketing your book any way you possibly can now. I mean, a lot of guys who will deny it at this point. When the internet first started, I thought it was like a vital thing to have a website and to have your book online. And a lot of guys are like, oh, it's just a fad and nobody needs it. But with comics now, you got to pimp it any way you can.
Yeah.
And if there's a lot of people that, especially are traveling or they're on the train in the morning or whatever, or kids at school and they need their, you know, they're crazy with their apps, I think it's great. Any yeah. way you can get the book under people's noses, I think is important.
I look at a book like Chew. Have you read Chew?
No.
Have you heard about this book?
Okay. I have, yeah.
It goes bonkers out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like 4 sellouts. I think they're on their 5th printing of this book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a book called Chew. It's about a guy who a detective that eats food and gets, you know, like, you know, sensory empathy.
He knows everything that's happened
to whatever.
Including when he eats a corpse.
Which is an awesome concept. But yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good 5,000-6,000 title a month book.
Yeah.
they're on their fifth printing or something right now. That's a book that, can you imagine if that was, if there was you know, an infrastructure that was set up to deliver digital comics? Sure. Like, yeah, they may have sold out those, you know, those five or ten or however many yeah. thousand copies, but God, how many dollar downloads of that could they have sold? Yeah. 20, maybe 30,000 yeah. of people that just see that on the internet and go, oh yeah, I'll try that out. Well, so you know that it, because digital downloads never run out. You never run out of, yeah. of digital paper. Yeah.
You got to be careful though, because the digital downloads are a lot like foreign publishers. You'll get a lot of these guys that just work the shows that go table to table mm-hmm. and ask, hey, I got, because there has got to be, off the top of my head, 50 companies now that approach you
oh, sure.
for comic apps. And, show me somebody that ever saw a check. Because a lot of it, by the time you go through, they squeak it through their creative accounting.
Yeah.
You're never going to see any money. It's the same way with when foreign publishers approach you and say, hey, we'd love to see Atomica in, you know, Swahili or in France yeah. and Italian. Yeah.
It'd be huge in Sweden.
I think it's great. No, I think
we're going to pay you in chicken feet.
I think you should do that, because I think it's important to get the stuff to other countries and get as many people to see it as possible. But
I tell you what, what's
good luck getting paid is all I'm saying.
I think you have some questions that David has probably not been asked before, and he did a nice lengthy talk on Comic Geek Speak, which you are a regular guest on. So so let's go ahead and give David a call here. This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no wait fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. I know when you're alone, and you should know what's there. You got desire, say it. And we are happy to be joined by Mr. David Steinberger from Comixology and the Comix app. If you are an iPhone user, David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about you?
All right, great to have you on. We're doing our kind of Windy City Comic Con preview episode, and working in some talk on digital comics and distribution and all that stuff. We're kind of all over the place.
It's like an infomercial.
It is. It's a big comic infomercial.
Get the claps, everyone. clap.
I think of it. It's more of a love fest, I think, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But want to thank you. You've been a part of Windy City Comic Con with us in the past. So thank you for that. And wanted to make sure to get you on, talk about some of these awesome mobile apps. I am an iPhone owner, and I've got your products all over my mobile device. And I want to start real quickly with one that I don't think gets enough play, and that is the Comixology app, which is an amazing tool for putting your pull list right onto your mobile device, and it syncs right with your website. You are probably much better and more eloquent about talking about the Comixology iPhone app than I am. So
you plug your phone into your computer.
can you tell us a little bit about the Comixology website and how that works with the Comixology iPhone app?
Yeah, sure. The Comixology website, the reason we put it together is because the founders of the company were getting to the comic book store on Wednesday and not knowing what they were supposed to be looking for, because there are so many books that come out and so many changes in scheduling and when books are going to arrive. And at the time, there was no good place to get all that information on one site. And so we created that, and we created the virtual pull list so people would get a reminder on Wednesday when the book was actually arriving in the store. That's turned into both the iPhone app. Well, I should say we have a lot of things that kind of surround that function. tons of previews, some social tools, lots of good columns, a great weekly creator interview podcast, and all of that stuff, all of those materials, plus the pull list service, migrated itself onto this iPhone app. So through the iPhone app, you can do anything you can do on the site. You can listen to the podcast. You can check what's coming out in the next week. You can look at your pull list. And it works both on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. We actually cache all the data, store all the data onto the device so that you can bring that up even if you don't have an internet connection when you get to your store.
Yeah, what I love about it is that I can do my pull list on your website, and then my phone will sync to that, or I can do my pull list on my iPhone whenever I'm waiting for an appointment or, you know, have some time to kill, and it syncs right to the website, and so I can, you know, there's no gap in between that, so that's
Without that app, with your whiskey-addled mind, you would just leave the comic shop with five copies of, like, the newest Archie comic, and that would be it. Like, I didn't know anything else came out. I forgot. Yeah.
It has back issues. It has literally saved me from forgetting about picking something up. So I have a copy of Chew Number One, which I can eBay at any moment for $50, and that is all because of you, sir.
Well, it's great. You know, I should mention, it would be a shame for me not to mention that starting this past February, we started selling retailer services. So a lot of retailers you can actually pull on the phone or on the website and pick up at the store, you know, right out of your box. So that's really a great tool for retailers as well. We've heard from a lot of them that they sell a lot of books they had no idea they even had an audience for, because people can go through the whole Diamond Previews catalog, look at all the pictures, and find the oddball comic that you know, the shop owner wouldn't have necessarily put into stock. So that's been a really nice success. And
oddball. Exactly. You can add a comic to that list.
Weirdo.
Real nice.
Weirdo comics.
You guys from the paper comics on the stands, and if anyone is looking for a mobile app for a pull list as an iPhone, now does it work on like a BlackBerry or other mobile devices? Or
We just released it for the BlackBerry like 2 weeks ago. It's on the BlackBerry App World.
Fantastic. I'm an iPhone guy, so that's where I start and stop when I look for apps like that. But no, I know there's a lot of BlackBerry folks out there that
stop will being so Apple centric.
I am an Apple centric guy. Come on, you know, that's how it is. But
why are you picking up?
As we talk about paper comics, you guys,
since you got married, you're picking up.
Yeah, Tom.
Chris,
just, Tom,
why
Tom
you let
just,
him pick on you
Tom,
like this?
Because I'm married. I'm used to getting picked
on.
Yeah,
but come on. Yeah, you. There's no repercussions here. You can fight back. You know.
Like I said, I'm married. I'm used to being picked on and hiding in the corner. You know how it is. You're married.
Back.
You're
married. Yeah, but I am Italian. We fight.
David,
back,
are you married?
Yes.
You get picked on?
Did you hear that tone of his voice? Like, yeah.
That's information I'm not going to share with you guys.
Oh, come on. Like, your wife listens to this.
Yeah. Sure. There are some things I do that irritate my wife. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I've met you on a couple occasions, and once again, thank you for coming into Windy City last year. I was running around like a madman and didn't get a chance to really talk with you. But, I want to know a little bit more about you. Are you a comic book fan, or is this just something? Is this like some crazy business venture you're in? I've never talked about you as a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I grew up buying comics all the way through the '80s and into the early '90s, like a lot of us, and then just stopped because I was spending money on other things, and the comics kind of, you know, went through that period that just was. The publisher is taking advantage of the consumer with all the number ones and platinum foil covers and all of that.
Rob Liefeld.
And then in 2000, I don't know, 3 or 4, my parents told me to come get my collection from them, and I have a very small apartment. And so I was thinking about selling them, and I looked around the internet, and at the time I couldn't find anything good to catalog the comics. So that's how this actually started for me. Now, one of the other partners had the problem that I was talking about, that he was sick of going into the store not knowing what he wanted to at least check out. And so that was just really fortuitous because he'd already started building the software. We talked about doing some shareware. And then I do actually have an MBA, so there is a business aspect to this, of course. And I was getting my MBA at the time. We actually won the NYU Stern business plan competition with this idea. And that's how we got started.
Very cool.
And you know, I'm a bigger fan than ever now. Because of course we started with
making money off it.
Bigger fan now. I hope you're making money.
Can you imagine?
I mean, yeah. Well, you know, that's the dream, right? I mean, it's amazing to even think that I'm doing this. But
did it work? You know, now, how did you? I mean, it was a great business model at NYU, but how did it work with the chicks is what I want to know. Because NYU, I was in college, and the minute you mention comics or anything comic-related in college, it's like the opposite of like, you know, Viagra with women. My wife doesn't even pretend to give a shit about comics. She just gives me that long look now, like, yeah, oh, looks great. You know, like when I told my mother I wanted to be a pirate, she'd go, oh, yeah, good for you, you know.
Well, listen, anything that has a big market and can make money is sexy in business school.
Yeah. No, okay. No, I was wondering, because NYU, you know, there's a lot of talent at NYU, so.
Well, hey, he's married, so I had to work at some point.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Well, hey, you are coming out of the paper world of comics, and you are jumping into this all of a sudden kind of crowded little pool of digital comics, and right into the iPhone app comics, which it makes me mad whenever, you know, you go to iTunes and you do a search for comic books. I'm used to, you know, around comics popping up, you know, right near the top, and now I got this fucking comics app.
What?
Which is jumping right up there.
And we're not making any fucking money.
And we are not making any fucking money at this, David.
Yeah, but there's free booze.
Yeah. So, but yes, we do have a good time. So tell us about comics.
Well, the idea has always been that we thought that there was a way to kind of make an ecosystem and place ourselves as a company in the center of an ecosystem of retailers, publishers, creators, and fans. Of course, we consider ourselves a consumer-facing company, but we're doing a subscription service with retailers, and we're making these deals now with publishers to get their comics onto the iPhone into digital form. And so it was always part of the business plan. It's a very natural way to go. We thought that there was an opportunity because there is some experience now with we can all look back and see how music went through this change and went into digital. And we thought that there was an opportunity to try to do it a little bit differently for comics and support the retailers and connect people to the passionate the passion that we understand comics to be. So
you mean not run around with your head cut off like
a
chicken?
I think he's the only guy that's ever connected ecosystem with comics ever. How he fit that word in when we're talking about comics.
He knows what he's doing.
I think it's fantastic. You can tell he went to NYU because it's like, he's got it together. Who the fuck says ecosystem with comics? I mean, that's fantastic.
You made it
terrific.
Work.
Yeah, and it worked perfect. It was seamless. I got to remember that. I've been trying to fit ecosystem into many conversations. I haven't been able to do it.
Well, now you know how.
Now I know
how. You know how. You set the online app.
One of the things I've noticed about comics as opposed to other viewers is that you guys have this really nice way of floating the panels around the screen to make it a little bit more of an organic experience. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, the way that comics started to get put on the iPhone back in, I guess, November is when they really started hitting in 2008, the way everybody still does it is by cutting up the page into these widescreen panels. And, of course, print comics, when you think about print comics, they do widescreen panels, they do tall panels, they do odd-shaped panels, there are all sorts of ways to do panels. And we thought it was a real shame that they had to get cut up and the storytelling had to get altered that way. And there was no sense of the whole page. And Apple provides this great platform for us to use some math. And what the idea is that we're following the way your eye travels across the page so that the iPhone actually becomes kind of your eye. So you don't actually move it, but it moves as if the page is moving behind the phone to the next panel. And so it actually masks the adjacent panels in colors, whether that's white for the background or black or whatever color happens to be on the page. And then it's orientation aware so that you don't have to make quite as many compromises because you can turn to the device to make it so you can really get a sense of that tall panel rather than just always having to cut that up into wide panels. And it really, what's really interesting is that there's a really big zoom effect on this. So because panels are bigger and smaller, we're actually zooming in on the page. And sometimes a great example is Astonishing Wolfman, number one, which is a free comic on the app. On the second page, there's this point where you're zoomed way in. It's a full page splash. You're zoomed way in so you can read the text. And then it pulls back and it reveals this really dramatic moment. And it has almost a cinematographic feel to it. And that's just, and that's something that I think that the artist actually did intend, although it comes across a little bit differently because we have to do it in such a way that it's readable. But it's a nice byproduct.
Well, are you going to make it in for Windy City this year?
I'm not going to make it in. Our materials are on the way, so we actually have the bag stuffer, so that should be there.
I was going to say you can talk to Jason Howard and see if that's how he intended it to be. Jason will be there.
Ah, yeah, see, that would be great. See, now I did. I did get to show The Walking Dead. Of course, I've shown The Walking Dead and all that stuff. Kirk, I think, has an iPhone, so he's seen all of that. But, yeah, there's a real joy to showing the artist, the creators, how it's working on the screen because there hasn't been one that hasn't been really impressed with, you know, how we've kept the fidelity of the experience as close as you can. I mean, you just can't reproduce paper on a screen that size, and you do have to compromise sometimes on how you pan across a really long panel just to make sure it's readable. But our real key to making the app work is not changing the page. So we don't actually get into Photoshop and make any adjustments to the page. Now, sometimes that means we make an odd compromise because there are a lot of panels overlapping. But we always keep in mind, like, one of our rules on putting this together is it's a comic book. Don't forget that it was made on paper, and it's okay for it to look like it wasn't exactly made for the device. Don't ignore the fact that there's a background encroaching it because somebody drew a diagonal line. That's okay.
Are you looking forward to the time, probably kind of starting at about now, that the artists are very conscious of this format and start formatting their comics? I look at something like Freak Angels with, you know, Warren Ellis at what he's doing. That, hey, this is something that needs to be from the word go, kind of designed for a mobile app where, you know, and we were talking about it earlier. Sal was talking about some of the stuff that he does with Atomica, and you see stuff that, like, J.H. Williams is doing with Detective Comics. Detective Comics is never going to work on this app like it's going to work as the comic book because of the sheer impact of those double paid spreads. But do you see that different comic book creators are going to say, hey, this needs to work on a mobile app, and that's going to be a very important part of our market?
Yeah, I think that a really great example of this is Atomic Robo. So I talked to Paul Enns, who's the publisher over at Red 5, and Atomic Robo has really gained popularity and sold tons of trade paperbacks after being introduced onto the iPhone. We actually do really we do some brisk sales on Atomic Robo as well. And he mentioned, I guess it was at San Diego, that this newest volume of Atomic Robo is almost all wide panel. There's almost no tall panel in it. So whether that's conscious or not, Scott Whiteman is moving towards a widescreen look. But on top of that, I think that you know, there are a lot of people that are very passionate about the idea that comic books have to be created for the device, so that it actually deserves some storytelling made for it. And with that in mind, we actually have several people making comics for the app. And in fact, we've actually commissioned a work as well for the app. So you will see things that are actually created for the app. What's nice about the way our app works with this panning and zooming is that they can keep in mind the ratio of the screen while keeping in mind print for putting that into, you know, trade paperback or into issues at a later date. So you can build popularity digitally, and we've seen this in webcomics, right? So something like Akewood, that did so well in trade paperback, had this huge audience on the web and had established itself some popularity. So yeah, I think you're going to see people, I know you are, because like I said, I think we're going to have four, by the time the end of the year hits, we'll have four original pieces made for our platform.
Nice. Well, I'm going to put you and Sal kind of under the gun here. And I hope you guys are okay with this. Sal is the creator of an independent, you know, creator-owned book called Atomica, and you are the owner and proprietor of an online delivery system for digital comics. And you are approaching Sal.
But you're both unicorns.
You are both unicorns. you want to sell Sal on bringing Atomica to comics. And this is all hypothetical. So you walk up to Sal and say, hey, we're interested in bringing Atomica to comics. How would this conversation go? And basically, David, you in a hypothetical situation, try and sell this creator on bringing his creator-owned book over to your system of digital delivery.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd show him the app. That's the biggest thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd like him to see how it works. We actually have a category that's dedicated that's called creator-owned. So either for very small publishers or for true creator-owned works, we actually have a category for that. I'd show him how you can search by genre and find things that are interesting to you. And I think, you know, we all know there's a distribution issue and a visibility issue for a lot of the independent comics. You know, the question is, how do you get in front of enough people to get the orders high enough to get Diamond to carry you to get into the stores? And my goal would be to show, first of all, that by showing the app that we really do a good job and try to respect as much as the device can how the artist, the creators intended it to flow. The timing and the issue, and you know, because we really respect how if there are text bubbles on the far left and then on the far right, there's actually a timing issue. If they're both in the middle, from people talking from the left and the right, we do that as a single panel. So there is a timing thing that works for the app, and then we talk about the business part of it, which I'm probably not going to do publicly, but
my only question is because see, coming from an indie perspective, is you get a lot of approaches from people that want the content. And from my experience of an indie guy is that, especially working with a lot of foreign publishers and a lot of, I mean, since the app guy, I mean, you know, from being in the business, there's got to be 50, you know, online apps for comic books. I went with a guy 2 years ago, and I still haven't seen a dime from any of these guys, much less heard from them. And now my only question to you is, I mean, is this a device that, because I agree with you, I agree with you 100%. Chris and I were talking about this before the show, that now as a comic guy, forget about an indie guy, but just as a comic guy, you have to use every, facet you can to try to get the word out and to get people to see your book and to get just the word of mouth going and to get exposure in every way you can. But from my experience is once you hand over the files, it's like good luck trying to, keep in touch. It's like the honeymoon is almost over with a lot of companies once they get your files. You know, you just kind of you're swinging in the breeze then all of a sudden. So
then I'd encourage you to find some people that you know that are working with us and find out.
I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that about you. I'm just saying that my question to you is: are you, when you're approaching creators, are you selling your site and your service as a service that's going to make money for these guys, or a way to kind of get the word out and get their book into, let's face it, these iPhone apps have just gone through the roof now, and to get the next generation of kids, which are the guys that, sit on the phone or their phone is like an integral part of their life now, to be able to see your book, are you presenting this as a marketing tool for their book, or as a way to also, increase sales for where you're actually going to cut them a check?
Well, we're definitely cutting checks. It's very early in the process. We're, only maybe not even quite 8 weeks old. People are going to make money. There's no doubt about it. Now, there's also the visibility aspect of it. So this week we actually ran The Darkness Pit #1 for Top Cow. As a way for them to help them get exposure to stimulate sales of the second book, because they decided not to do a reprint of the first book, but they'd like to have, more sales. And part of that is just simply getting the word out. Now, Top Cow and Comixology don't have a relationship where we're selling their books on our app, but we're more than happy to help them get the word out because I think it's good for the app. You know, it's free content, obviously. It's great content. And, you know, because I'm going to use the word ecosystem again, because we do, we do actually come from a place of supporting the smaller publishers and indie publishers because they're the ones that wanted to talk to us when we were small. They're still the ones, the guys that are on our podcast. We rarely get the big guns from Marvel and DC on the podcast. And I think we're respected in that way. So it's both. The people that are doing the best on our app, the publishers that are doing the best on our app are A, the biggest brands, so people like Robert Kirkman, mm-hmm. and B, the ones that are talking about it and doing using all the other available opportunities to them, whether that's social networking and Twitter and anywhere else you're talking about, to reach their audience and say, this is now available to you on the iPhone. But I got to tell you, you know, a lot of our sales are also worldwide. So this is a worldwide platform. It's just surprising actually just how big a percent that is. Mostly English speaking, but quite a bit not actually.
Do you guys have like a, you know, like a screening process or how do you, you know, decide who you're going to pick?
Yeah. Well, you know, as we get bigger and more publishers want to work with us. Yeah. We have to look at, you know, what the best bets are. And, you know, we do have a basic screening process, which is, are you published?
Are you good?
Do you have a reputation for getting stuff out on time? I mean, are we going to end up with one comic book, in other words, and no series? And then, you know, because we don't charge anything for publishers or creators to get onto the app. We do all that work with no extra revenue share for us or anything like that. We don't charge anybody a dime to get their stuff authored. We have to, you know, prioritize. And as this gets crowded, I think it's going to be a little bit harder. We're working very hard on a solution to make it very easy for anyone to do it. And we're working hard to do that now because we're already you know, having to make some decisions on you know, what gets priority simply because, you know, we just announced Devil's Due this week. That's going to be an amazing publisher to work with. And when, you know, when there are properties like Jericho, which season 3, which was a TV show that had a lot of passionate fans, that means that the audience opens up.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like anybody that who's into comics or of this mm-hmm. this generation or even, you know, an old geezer like myself who thinks that this isn't like a necessary thing for what you're doing in comics today is crazy because the way there's phone apps and the way the whole, again, this multi-generational approach of you're trying to get your book and you're trying to get as much exposure as you can for your title is vital. And you got to use every way now. I mean, the internet's just used to be like, oh, it was a little novelty, but now it's like, forget it. Without the internet or without phone apps, that's just, I don't think you stand a chance anymore.
Do you kind of feel like a 49er? You know, is this the gold rush and you're trying to get out west as fast as you can?
Well, you know, we want to do a really good job. So there is some deliberate movement. I mean, we worked on this app for quite a while before we released it. The reason we were able to come out with more publisher agreements than anybody and the reason that we have more comics available than any other company doing this on the iPhone is because we took the time to do it right. And that's going to be our approach going forward. That's going to be our approach as we go into new plans and announce new partners. Because what we saw, it was great. It's great to see somebody else make the first move, although that's probably that doesn't sound right to most business people. You know, the first mover advantage is supposed to be the best.
No,
in something but like this,
it's not. It's early adapter, yes. First mover, you want to see what mistakes they make.
And you want to examine like how did they do this, and do we think we could do a better job? Yeah. And the idea of having a single app, for instance, for all your comics, was one thing we wanted to do, and we thought we could do a better viewing experience than what was out there. And that's not to say that there aren't going to be others that do well, or that there is something wrong with the way the other guys do it. A lot of people like it, but we just felt like if we took the time to do it the way we envisioned it, we'd be able to come out with something really good. But yeah, I mean, it's really been ridiculous in San Diego how much has happened and how quickly everything's getting added onto the iPhone. And in that way, it's very exciting. I mean, the explosion, you know, the idea of, you know, digital comics is about to happen is over.
Yeah.
Digital comic books are here. And the next step in this is you know, making it available to as many people as possible.
Well you guys, it was definitely a feeling of, you know, that they're arriving and people are very much ready for it to happen. And you guys seem to have the infrastructure in place. You have a great website. You already had a very, very good iPhone app in the Comixology app. And then this seemed like it was a very natural extension to say, okay, we have the website, we have this app, and now we have this app, which wraps everything together. And so it just seemed very, very well planned and very well executed. So, you know, I was really happy to see you guys, you know, as much as I was poking fun at you whenever you do a comic book search that comics comes up at the top of the list and not our podcast, you bastard. But I was very happy.
Nice language. Nice language.
Oh, sure. you.
It's a kid's show.
I was very happy to see that you guys were getting some instant popularity for the app and some instant success, because I think you guys have done a very good job of laying things out and making sure, like you said, that you were going to do it right before you did it first. And that's very, it's very refreshing to see out there. So I tell you what, David, we're gonna wrap up here with you, but I definitely wanted to get people to be aware of not just the comics app, but the Comixology app, which I use every week on my iPhone. Make sure that that I don't miss stuff like Chew whenever I come here.
Oh, man,
And then, you know, it's speaking of Chew, and we talked about it before we got you on, is that, you know, digital never runs out of paper. So they talk about, you know, having 4 and 5 sellouts of that and different reprints of it. Well, man, if you can download that and have it as a comic on your mobile device or on your home computer, well, you know, there's never a sellout on that stuff. And I think that alone is going to be very, very appealing to comic book creators and companies as we move forward with this.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to come up with something that tells us when the first printing you'll be able to sell for $50 on eBay? There's no.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, there are a lot of the way that we built this all up, there are a lot of opportunities to move in a lot of different directions. And, you know, we have a lot of great retailers that are connected to us, and there's no reason that can't become, you know, a way for them to sell to a great many people outside of their, you know, immediate store.
Now, I got a question. I pulled it up on my phone, and there's 3 of them on there, Comixology. Which one is the one now?
This can be confusing. For print comics, you're going to want Comixology itself.
Okay.
Comixology Lite. Comixology Lite is a free version. It doesn't let you save your pull list, but it does let you look at what's coming out this week.
Okay.
And then Comics, the one that's just called Comics, is the digital comics.
Okay. Does the Comixology, the top one, does it have them all, or is it just one or the other?
No, it's one or the other, because we don't see that this is exactly... Now, the Comixology and the comics audience cross over, but there are a lot more people for the comics, digital comics audience, that aren't going to be into, you know, tracking down the latest print issue at the retailer. Although, because we have a retailer finder and we give an opportunity to buy the comic in print out of the digital comics app, you know, obviously we think there's a benefit to print.
Can you do me a favor or keep something in mind whenever you on the poll list for Comixology?
Yeah.
Can you list the writer and artist on that? On the page with the poll list?
Do you mean on the site?
On the site or the app. It's just a little suggestion for me is that
that's actually been a suggestion multiple times, and it's something we're actually looking at re-architecting the whole site,
because
we think we've gone in a lot of directions and it needs to be a little bit cleaner.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a big request. I think in the app the list of comics does show the artists.
Okay.
But on the site, the lists don't. You're totally right. And you know, we've been working on ways to do smart pull lists, too, so you can do pull lists by creator.
That's great. That's great.
That type of thing. Or story.
You have it, but you have to drill down for it a couple screens.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, but it's, you know, it's not a bad problem.
Jesus Christ,
it's,
Chris, yeah. Get off
I'm
his saying, back.
You know, it's I. You, I'm telling you, I'm a user. I'm giving you user information here. Yeah. I use it every freaking week, and that's just one thing. I, you know, it's like.
Well, listen. I mean, we answer every single email that we get.
I know. I send you emails.
So
you always
we take
respond
the suggestions
to me.
Very very seriously. Users are the ones who know how it should work.
Here's a perfect example is that I rely on Tom to let me know when Batman Superman is good because of the creator teams. And Raphael Albuquerque is now one of my favorite artists. And if I see whenever I see Batman Superman listed and Raphael Albuquerque is listed as the artist on it, I know I'm going to pull that right away. And so that's one of the things that that I would love about the app if you guys make that adjustment. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I definitely want to tell people that to check out the website, Comixology, and that's spelled with an X, Comixology. Go to the iTunes Music Store and check out the Comixology. You can try out the Lite application, which is free. How much is the full-function Comixology app?
It's $1.99.
Ah, well worth it. Well worth it, especially if you go to the comic shop every week.
You can try some digital comic books for free as well. We have single apps of The Walking Dead, a great comic called Zigzag from Madhouse Books. There's another one, too, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. But those are free, you know, just so you can see the reading experience and decide whether or not digital comics are the direction you want to go in.
I tried Gorillaz, which I've been waiting to buy and trade, and what a great comic, and it was awesome to try it out. I think that was one of the best ones that I saw in the way that you guys present the comics on screen. It fantastic. It really enhanced the storytelling experience. So I really enjoy Gorillaz on the iPhone.
Yeah, we actually learned a lot about authoring, how to do that on Gorillaz, because there's a lot of different changes in color. It's black and white, but when we do black masking, when there's black background, and Brom Revel is just a fantastic cartoonist and writer, and that's a great book. I'm so glad you discovered it, because he's one of the guys that's had trouble getting enough visibility for his books, and that's just a shame.
I think it's a perfect example of what you guys can offer, because I heard great reviews on that book. And I was like, you know what? That is something I'm going to want in trade. It's not that I didn't want to support it. It's that I wanted to support it in trade. But I'll get the digital versions of it for a buck. And then I'll buy it in trade when it comes out. So it's not that I don't want to support it. It's that I do want to support it in trade. But to spend a buck for a single issue, yeah, I can do that. You know, it's anybody can spend a buck. You know,
that's a pretty big book. That's like 60 pages each time.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good value.
All right. Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much, and thank you once again for helping to support us with the Windy City Comic Con and making great apps and a great website. And please don't be a stranger. You know, you've got a spot here on the show anytime that you want to talk about what's going on with comics or Comixology or anything else that you guys got coming out.
Great. Thanks, guys. You guys have a good weekend next weekend. All the best on a great show.
Just hope I can make it through it in one piece.
yeah, hang in there.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks
again.
Man,
take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. I want to thank David at Comixology and Comics for talking with us. And, I thought it was good to ask some hard questions, because we can be lovey-dovey about everything.
He seemed a little uneasy when I asked him.
He was sweating.
No, he just like it was. I felt like the guy in 60 Minutes.
We want a little Mike Wallace on him. But, you know, David's a good guy, and I think that they're putting out a good product there. But it does raise some very interesting questions of you know, he has to sell this not just to consumers.
Indie books.
He has to sell this to creators.
You got to. I mean, I'm sorry, as an indie creator, you really got to be careful, because lot of guys, once you put your sweat into it, there's really no one that's going to defend it and you know, take care of it as much as you are. If you go to any big,
it's like an independent band. Yeah. It's like, hey, yeah, oh, I think we hear a hit. Oh, yeah. By the way, here's
I started Atomic, I started with Speakeasy, and you know, you assume these guys are on the same page.
Yeah.
But it's like anything else. You're
a speakeasy survivor, aren't you?
No, I left right away. I was the first guy off the boat. Man. Yeah. I said, I'm out of here.
Okay. Guys... We talked to Steve Bryant, who does Athena Voltaire, and then Josh Falcoff.
Yeah, okay.
Elk's Run.
I got out in a hurry, man. These guys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean,
business is business. They just didn't know what they were doing.
That's the history of comics, though, man. It's,
well, you know, you got to be careful wherever you go. I don't care if it's, I mean, the rules don't change if you go to Marvel or DC or Image. It's, you really got to, you know, always kind of be diligent, especially about your work. You have to really defend it and be careful.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting with it. And I think that they're doing a nice job with the mobile apps. But, you know, we kind of, you know, I give the whole, you know, 1849ers reference there. It really is the gold rush.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing to say about the gold rush, you know, that doesn't get, you know, a lot of people went out there and they just dug a lot of dirt.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, people forget the online comics thing is far from new. I mean, nobody had a better app or a better approach or production values than CrossGen did with their online comics. I mean, he hired a whole staff of like guys that were doing state-of-the-art stuff at the time to do online comics because they thought that was the future, and it went nowhere. It went nowhere.
It's kind of funny. You know who owns CrossGen?
It's Disney.
Yeah. Disney. Yeah.
Well, I don't expect it. I don't think Disney right now is combing over any of those characters.
It could be interesting though.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
It could. You never.
Unless
know.
He was
you
such a know. Colossal piece of shit.
Well, not Disney. You know. Not Disney, but Marvel. Does Marvel have an opportunity to bring back some of the cross-gen characters?
I just think that, you know, that I think unless he when he left, he owed everybody money, and he screwed over so many good artists and good people. And, I mean, down to the littlest things of not returning people's artwork. Yeah. I know so many artists that he kept the entire catalog of all their art.
And I don't know the particulars of it, but, you know, a guy like Mike Perkins, who's a fantastic artist, and with his stuff on the stand now, but Perkins got his kind of mainstream start at CrossGen.
Yeah, a lot of good guys did. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good artists that were. I mean, Steve Epting was over there. Sure. Bart Sears was over there. Claudio Castellini was supposed to be there.
It wasn't for lack of talent.
No. It was just...
With that line of comics.
It's just, it's anything, when you're trying to put on an independent comic or start an independent company, it's like, come on, you know, it's like starting a fast food chain. I mean, look what you're up against. Yeah.
Independent filmmaker.
Oh, exactly. You're up against a lot of brand loyalty.
Sure.
So it's tough.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's wrap this one up. We're gonna come back next week with a kind of a pre-post Windy City Comic Con, because the convention will have come and gone, but Sal will be back with us, and we've got a few other people here in the store.
We'll make up stories.
Talk shit about people.
So if you are going to be in the Chicago area,
what do you think about Boba Fett?
I'm not a big Boba Fett guy.
Little Boba Fett.
No, I was a Nova guy from Planet of the Apes. I always wanted to give it to Nova from behind. You don't remember Nova?
No, I'm imagining
the Charlton Heston one. You're young.
I was thinking it was one of the apes.
No. Nova was primo masturbation material when I was at the Uptown Theater. I mean, only from behind though, because she had the loincloth. So.
It's true.
I'm just glad that Nova was a woman.
I'm thinking about
Nova
it.
Nova was a woman. Nova was extremely doable.
I'm going to call you Nova.
Nova was very hot. Yeah, not the comic you think that, you know.
So if you want to meet this gentleman right here, you can come to the Windy City Comic-Con this weekend.
Yes.
It is going to be at the Center on Halsted, which is just one block east of Wrigley Field in Wrigleyville, which is one of the great neighborhoods here in the great city of Chicago. For all of the details, including a full guest list, you can go to WindyCityComicCon.com.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll come back with you with great reports of how the show went and good time.
I think that's the only building in a neighborhood where there's no glory hole too. So
there's glory holes there.
Are there glory holes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just they didn't have them installed yet.
All right. Well, I'm just curious. You know.
No. If you
draw the Captain America face around the glory hole, is that what it is?
It could be.
It's the only difference between
the gay
bar and the comic one.
Because Center on Halsted, they brace themselves for this convention every year now, and it is definitely a meeting of the minds for one.
They got a killer grocery store on the main floor.
Yeah.
Is that a Treasure Island or what is
it? It's a Whole Foods.
Fantastic.
But
$75 for a sandwich, but it's fantastic.
Hey, dude. Okay, by the way.
It's terrific.
Yeah. Now, I'll, okay. Okay, here's an announcement for all the creators that are going to be at Windy City. You, sir, you and all the other creators are going to have your lunch taken care of by Polo Cafe, who is going to have a steam cart there doing top of the line Chicago hot dogs. We're talking steamed poppy seed buns.
Wow.
Top of the line hot dogs, all the fixing.
Good.
Make your own sundae bar.
Nothing like a good bow wow.
So you've got, yeah, so you will have your lunch taken care of.
What about me? Is my lunch taken care of?
Your lunch is taken care of. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Not the photographers like Jen Santorelli.
Bring your own food. So no, we photographer.
We are going to have food up there on the third floor, so we'll have a food vendor. But you can go down to Whole Foods and buy your $12 chicken wrap.
No, I'm just saying, I saw it down there and I thought it was nice because most cons you go to when you're, you know, you got to eat trail mix.
Good hot dogs, man. Good hot dogs. Okay. Root beer floats. It's going to be awesome. Okay.
It's like a travel back in time. Yeah. Can I get a malt?
That's good. I got two pairs of pants that fit me, so the root beer float...
Yeah, help you out.
Yeah.
So Saturday, September 19th, that's this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Go to WindyCityComicCon.com, and that's hopefully the last time you're going to hear that web address for
You're just going to start promoting the next one two weeks after.
I'm a little bit offended. You guys got you got guests, and you got special guests, and then you got me on there just with the Straggle-Louis section of the website.
Other people.
You are the number...
Just jag-offs.
Miscellaneous.
Like, see, also, these assholes will be there.
You're the number one guest, though. You're the first guest.
Well, that's only because of Abinanti, my last name. I have no fucking delusions about that.
Listen, it's a happy coincidence.
You got Gene Hahn, all those happy assholes.
David Ardsma is there. He's above you.
Okay. Just don't put me below Hillary Barta. You know, that cranky son of a bitch.
I'm going to put you next to Hillary Barta.
Well, you won't see him again because Hillary and I, we get along like, you know, fucking Boa Constrictor and mongoose, me and that skinny bastard.
Hillary is a fucking king of a man, and you know it.
He's a colossal pain in the ass.
Absolutely.
He's always red-assed, no matter. He's always got his ass rubbed the wrong way, that guy.
I got into
pissed about something, no matter what.
I got into an argument with him about Watchmen the other day.
He's just like a giant fucking hemorrhoid, that guy. He's always pissed and just always uptight. He's like the last fucking condom in the whorehouse, that son of a bitch. And just don't put me next to him.
Put that in his bio.
I'll throw him out a fucking window, that guy. I can't stand him. You're
next to Jeff Darrow and Chris Burnham, I think.
Oh, that's a happy bunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to be loving it. Yeah. Hey, I do have...
That's a fucking train wreck right there.
So you know all about Windy City Comic Con. And I do want to take a minute here because it was mentioned on Twitter and we've talked about it amongst ourselves a little bit. But... for those out there wondering, Brian Salazar, the kind of founder of the show, is
missing.
He is missing. No,
don't know where he is.
For those that haven't heard through Twitter or message boards or whatever, but my good friend Brian Salazar,
you're making this sound sadder. I know, like something bad happened to him.
No,
he's free. He's fine.
Sal,
he's good. He doesn't have to come back here anymore.
Sal has decided that he's going to step away from the show. We're still.
He'll be back.
We're co-promoters of Windy City, and that will continue for as long as the show does. But Sal has decided that he's going to step away from Around Comics, and I think he had kind of said what he wanted to say. That was it. He didn't really have anything else to say about comics. He wanted to spend some time with his family, and that's the end all be all.
Like he was touring with Aerosmith. Why did he need?
Well,
I think he wants to
tour with Aerosmith.
Oh, okay. So, all right. A lot of whores when you tour with Aerosmith.
You know, that's the draw.
We can talk shit about him now because he has no avenue of which to defend himself.
Exactly. Yeah. But in all seriousness, I want to send out a heartfelt thank you to Sal because Around Comics would not have ever happened without him. He was 100% my partner in the show from the very beginning, and his... his dedication to this show made it possible. I can be the voice sometimes, but he was without a doubt the backbone of the show.
Are you guys still together?
Was there a Yoko involved in this? Was there something that just kind of was the wedge?
Wait, I get it. He bought Beatles Rock Band, and he doesn't have time for us anymore.
Something like that.
Sal is a good guy.
Thank you.
He's
a good guy.
He is, and I don't want to get weepy about it, but he's a wonderful person, and he's been an amazing person to know through the show, and I'm glad that I still work with him, and we are still on great terms, so don't worry about that.
Thank you, Sal.
It wasn't a division of personality. It's just he's kind of burnt out, ready to spend more time. Oh, God, look who you said his name, and he walked in.
Listen, Sal's in a better place.
Sal's in a better place.
At home, not here.
He's not here.
I wish I was at home.
So Sal.
Is he going to come on once in a while?
He will. I guarantee it.
He knows that he always has an open chair here, and it's. I think.
Well,
it's,
if we have space for him.
If we have space. If you're not here and Hillary's not sitting in with us, so. But Sal knows he always has an open spot, and it is not—it's not a creative difference thing. It's nothing like that. He's just ready to spend some more time with his family and
big family. What's he got?
25 kids.
25. Well, I mean, with his wife or spread out.
That he wants to talk about or admit to.
Oh, two.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two that he wants to talk about. So.
It's none of my business. I'm just asking.
So, Sal, buddy, thank you so much for all the hard work, and you know that you always have a spot here. So if you want to come out to Windy City Con and tell Sal how much the last 4 years on Around Comics have meant to you, you can certainly do so. He will be out there. But let's go ahead and wrap this one up. You can leave us a voicemail, which we're going to try and catch up with those in
we'll
a little while.
We'll never, ever catch up.
We'll never catch up. And that number is 1-888-977-5903. You can email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. You can check out Tom on Tom versus the Flash about three times a week now that you're married, or is that going to go down to one?
Three.
Probably down to none.
Three.
You're married.
Three? So you're back on three?
I'm starting again this weekend.
As you run us through the history of the DCU, one issue
She
at
can't
a time.
Tell me what to do. I'll just wait till she falls asleep.
Okay.
Oh, you, you figured that.
I'll do the David Price.
I'll record it very quietly.
NyQuil. Just give me some NyQuil.
I'm just going to record this show very quietly.
This is
Tom versus the Flash, issue 103.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I heard the refrigerator. I got to go.
Okay, I think she went back.
Are you gonna put the pieces of a broken light bulb on the floor around?
Yeah, it's gonna be.
There, she's coming. Yeah.
Why is it this big the string with a chain of keys on it? No reason.
Right.
What are you doing in the dark with your computer?
Yeah.
Masturbating.
That's right.
I'm getting less trouble for that.
Whenever you tell your wife that you're looking at porn because you don't want
really
to know that you're doing comic book shit.
It's less embarrassing.
I keep like a rear view mirror on my screen. So when it comes in the fucking door, I don't have to turn around. I can see.
You sit in the corner, so you're just like face up. So no one can sneak up on me.
And I keep a double.
It's like a fucking gangster in a restaurant, so no one can sneak up and.
Well, you keep the dummy window open of like a comic site. Oh, I was checking out what's going on. I got cornholing hussies on the other screen.
So you can also hear more of me if you want to do so. If you're a masochist, on 11 o'clock comics, that comes out every week, Thursday or Friday, with David Price and Vince B and Jason Wood. And Wood is going to be at Windy City next week, so come by and say hi to him. Want to thank all of our sponsors, InStockTrades.com and Netflix, and of course the wonderful Mark Beatty here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. Please come out to the Windy City Show and show your support for comics here in the Chicagoland area if you are around. We'll be back again next week with another full-length episode. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in and around comics.
Goodbye, Sal.
Goodbye, Sal.
Enjoy the rest of your life. I hope you get better. I hope the rash goes away.
The rash.
The around comics. Disease.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.
Tranquilizers.
Officer, those cuffs are tight.
I swam in.
Right.